let's get into the Word, and I'll quit adding things to your calendar. How about that? Matthew chapter 4. If you want to go there, we finished up chapter 3 last week. We're going to read Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. I don't know if we'll make it that far. In fact, I know we're not going to make it that far. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. If you want to go ahead and find that, I'm going to title the sermon, Jesus Being Tempted, Part 1. Because I know we can't make it through in one Sunday. It might be a part 3 or 4 to it. I'm not sure. But last week we saw where Jesus, while you're finding that, where Jesus showed up at the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. We saw this great moment where Jesus himself came to be baptized. He humbled himself. The heavens opened up. The Spirit descended down like a dove on Jesus. And the voice of God itself was heard. And when Jesus said, "This is my Son, whom I love and with I am well pleased." We talked about how Jesus' baptism was the very beginning of what God wanted to do in his ministry. The very beginning of the public ministry that was to come from Jesus' life here on earth. And we also talked about how that should be the very beginning of our baptism. When we are baptized, that is a sign that we are showing the world, the old me is dead, the new me is rising from the grave, and I'm a new in Christ, and from this point on, I'm going to be a new person, a new creation in Christ. That's what we're showing the world when we do a public baptism. That we're showing exactly what we learned or what we accepted in our heart, the change that's happened in our heart, we're just showing it publicly. It should just be the very beginning of what God wants to do in the public ministry in our lives. It doesn't mean you have to be a missionary. It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. It just means that there be some kind of ministry that you are involved with that involves the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, today we're going to see where Jesus is being led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. So we're going to see him going from this awesome moment where he gets baptized, an awesome moment where the heavens opened up, an awesome moment where the voice of God was heard and the Spirit came down, to Jesus being led directly into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And you might say, well, why in the world did this have to take place the way it did? Why in the world would he be led out into the wilderness after all this great things? Why was he tempted? What happened when he was tempted? Well, that's what we're going to find out a little bit this morning. And Lord willing, we'll continue the study next week, but we're going to try to at least talk about temptation this morning. So before we get started, just a quick little disclaimer to just let your mind sink in around this before we get into the Word and before we get into the prayer. We're going to go through verse 1 today. All right? So that's as far as I could get when I was studying. I was studying the Scripture this week was Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. But we're going to read all of it so you get the full picture. Next week we'll come back and read it all again and hopefully cover the next 2 through... We might touch a little bit on chapter 2, verse 2. But anyways, so just let that sink in for just a few minutes. So let's read Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. The temptation of Jesus. Now you know where I got my sermon title. All right. Then Jesus was led... Okay, now remind you, he just heard, and everybody just heard God say, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy, who I am well pleased with." And then it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point on the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say that you must not test your Lord, your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of the very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." I love verse 10. Jesus says, "Get out of here, Satan." Jesus told him, "For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just love you. Lord, we just thank you that we have the perfect example, Lord, not only in Jesus and how he handled temptation, but in your word, that you gave us all the tools that we need to defeat the devil. You gave us your scripture. You gave us Jesus Christ. You gave us your grace, your mercy. But most of all, Lord, you gave us your spirit to dwell within us. Lord, we ask you this morning that you would send your spirit, that you would make your spirit obvious to us, that us who have a hardened heart this morning. Lord, that we would recognize your spirit this morning. Lord, that we wouldn't just be through going through emotions or just saying, oh man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that. God, how can it affect me this morning? How can it affect each person that's here this morning, the message that you've laid on my heart? Because God, that's where we just like we talked about a few weeks ago, we start to let you plow over our hardened hearts. Lord, that's what your word is supposed to do. It reveals what we look like to you. Lord, change us this morning. Speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's read verse 1 again. And I want you to, you're probably going to think, how in the world is he going to preach for hopefully only 30 minutes on one verse? It says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. And verse 2 goes on to say, for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. We might touch on that just a little bit. So first of all, what we see in this first verse is we see that Jesus is tempted not before his baptism, but after his baptism. See, Jesus had just had this mountaintop experience, this high spiritual high with God, a public spiritual high with God. And Satan was doing what? He was just waiting at the bottom of that spiritual mountain. He was just waiting when Jesus came out of that water to do what? To attack him. Now, if you notice, Jesus was led out into the wilderness, but it says he was led by the Spirit. So why in the world would God's Spirit lead Jesus out knowing in the wilderness, out into the wilderness, knowing that he was going to be tempted by the devil? Well, Jesus was tempted for three reasons, and I'm going to try to give you those real quick, just to kind of set the tone for today. Number one, it was to make sure that Jesus was in perfect obedience to the Father. His mind, his body, his spirit needed to be in perfect obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says this, even though Jesus was God's Son, listen to this. He learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Sometimes we forget that Jesus was a real person, don't we? We think, well, that was Jesus. He was able to defeat the devil because he was Jesus. But yes, he was God. Yes, he was Jesus. But you know what? He was also fully, 100% man. He was human, just like me and you. Number two, Jesus, why was he tempted? Because he needed to secure righteousness, the perfect righteousness. He needed to be that sinless man so he could be that perfect sacrifice for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. Let that sink in for just a minute. So that we could be made right with God through Christ. Number three, why did he have to be tempted and to go through these things in the wilderness, he needed to experience all the trials, all the temptations that we ourselves will go through on this earth. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to know. He wanted to be able to say, I can understand you, I can help you because I've been through it myself. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says this, this high priest of ours, talking about Jesus, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. Anybody ever had a boss that wants to tell you how to do your job, but they've never done it? You ever had that? They might have a degree in business. They might have a degree that made them be able to climb the ladder higher or whatever, but they've never been in the ditch doing the work, but they want to tell you how to do it? That's what he's talking about. That's why Jesus came to go through all these things. This is what it says. He says, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of the gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find his grace to help us when we need it the most. Now it's important that we understand something this morning before we go any further. God did not tempt Jesus. God is not going to tempt you to sin. But God does allow us to fall into temptation. God does allow us to be tempted by the devil. And he allows us to be tempted for the same reasons he allowed Christ to be tempted in the wilderness. See, if we never had these temptations, if we never had to experience the temptations of sin and what Satan comes at, if we never were allowed to experience hard times or rough times in our life and trials, we'd never really understand what faith really looked like. We would never really be able to experience the power of God. We'd never really be able to experience the grace of God. We would be like little robots walking around because God programmed us to follow all the rules. He doesn't want that. God loves us enough that He wants us to make the choice. And He wants us to choose Him, not Satan. He wants us to choose the eternal things, not the worldly things. There are many ways to display great faith. But resisting temptation, let me tell you this morning, is one of the best. If you really want to prove your faith to nobody else but yourself and to God, even when nobody else is around, resist temptations and you'll feel what faith really is. You see, sometimes we're tempted because God is trying to prepare us for something that's coming. And most of the time, He tempts us to test us for something more He wants to do in our life. Maybe another step of faith He wants us to take. But He says, you know what? Let me see if He's ready. Let me see if she's ready. So you might be here this morning asking, well, God, you know, I've been following the Lord. I've been striving to live a godly life. I've been a member of this church my whole life. I don't drink. I don't go into all these things. I don't party. I've been faithful to my husband or my wife. I mean, so why am I still dealing with all these temptations? I read the Bible every morning and I pray. I want to be encouraged this morning. Maybe God's testing you in this ways, seeing if you're ready for a greater task that He's preparing you for. So don't give up because this is where we see God demonstrate His mercy in our lives. This is where we see His grace and His power really come unfolding in our life. When we say, God, I know I'm being tempted right now, but I call on those angels that came and helped Jesus when He resisted the devil. That same spirit, those same angels will come and help us when we stand on God's word instead of the devil and his schemes and his ways. This is where we see that victory in the Jesus that we just sang about. You see, Jesus went out into the wilderness. He separated Himself from the world. He even separated Himself from food. Now, this is the thing about fasting that just blows my mind. 40 days and 40 nights without eating. See, God was trying to prepare Him for the most important, the most critical moment of His life here on earth, His ministry. And Jesus, the key to it was Jesus let the Spirit lead Him to that place, out into the wilderness. And He spent 40 days and 40 nights alone having that communion with God. Communion means your closeness, that time of fellowship where you're just hand in hand, face to face before God. Oh, church, there's such a lesson here. Just in verse 1. What great things we miss out on when we refuse to get alone with God. God is always there waiting to have that communion with us, but He's not going to make us do it. He wants us to say, God, I'm going to stop my busyness. I'm going to stop all the things I've been doing, and I'm going to spend some time with You this morning. What growth we miss out on when we refuse to step away from the world and focus on our relationship with God. Now, we should always be spending alone time with God, but I want to give you three times where it is essential in our walk with the Lord. Number one is this. After that mountaintop experience like Jesus had, any time that you were coming down off of that spiritual high where you just had a moment where you were just like, man, it doesn't matter what it was. Maybe God used you to do something great. Maybe you just had a time of worship or whatever it was in a church service or whatever. Jesus had just been baptized. God spoke to Him directly. The Spirit of heaven came from heaven, descended on Him. That's what you call a mountaintop experience with God. We had one of those experiences Friday night. People think we're crazy. My wife thought I was crazy, but me and Dwayne and a couple other friends of ours, Christian brothers of ours, we went camping Friday night in tents. And we had like a grown-up backyard camp out, if you will. But it was down in the woods behind Dwayne's house, and we went back there and we set it aside, and we call it the Mountain Man Wilderness Revival. And so, I had to shave my beard off. It didn't look as nice as Dwayne's. But we go there just to step away, even from our children, from our wives, and I hope some of you guys will come next year. And we just focus on our relationship with each other, our relationship with God, and we just reset. And we say, okay, we've been so busy, we've been so beat down. We're just going to have a time out in God's creation, worshiping Him, studying devotion, studying the Word. We even had communion. We had the Lord's Supper around the campfire. But guess what? We also know the devil's waiting Saturday morning to attack. Those mountaintop experiences. Number two. Where time where it's essential for us to spend time with God is right before a great trial or a great temptation. You see, Jesus knew what was coming, so he was prepared. He prepared himself. He devoted this time of fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, praying and just getting close to God. Now, let me stop here for just a minute. You might be here today and you're thinking, yeah, well, how in the world am I supposed to know when temptation's going to come? How am I supposed to know when trials are going to be coming for me? Well, let me remind us what Jesus said this morning. He said what? He said, you will have in this world, you will have many trials and sorrows. So don't be the bearer, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but trials and sorrows are coming for us in this world. And I want us to understand something this morning. God wants us to understand something. Trials and temptations are really not bad for us in themselves. Now, don't run me out the church this morning. Temptations are not bad for us by themselves. I've got that written in my Bible. Where they become bad for us is when we start to give in to the temptations. Remember the Lord's Prayer? I love the NLT. It says this on the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't, you know, a lot of times we recite it using the King James and we just get used to it. But sometimes I love looking at the other translations. The New Living Translation says, and don't let us yield to temptation. He doesn't say don't ever let us have to deal with temptation. He says, let us yield. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. See, if we're spending time alone with God in communion with God, if we're spending time in His Word, studying it and asking God how it applies to my life, if we're setting aside time to pray, we'll be able to resist these temptations and we'll actually grow even stronger than we were when we do resist it and we turn to God. Number three, another time that communion with God is essential is when we have the opportunity to do a great service for God. See, the devil was just waiting to mess up this closeness that Jesus and the Father had shared out in the wilderness. The old devil was just waiting to kick Jesus off that mountaintop. But Jesus was ready and he was prepared because he had fasted, he had prayed, he had spent time studying the scripture. You notice what he combated. We're going to talk about it next week. He said, no, the scriptures say this. And even the old devil tried to distort it, didn't he? He said, well, yeah, but God says this. He said, no. Scripture also says this. So the best way to combat false scripture and false teaching is back to the scripture. Jesus did that himself. When we go on these mission trips, before we went to Zimbabwe, I didn't tell Budgie I was going to use him as an example this morning, but I know he won't mind. Before we went to Zimbabwe, before we were getting ready to do this step out on faith and go somewhere, go across the other side of the world for God and to share the gospel, we expected the devil to be attacking. Poor Budgie, I think the devil just stayed on his back the whole time. His car broke down, his transmission started leaking, he couldn't find the medication, they ran him all over the place, and he was going through these things, and even the morning we left, his hot water heater went out in his house. Now you can call that a coincidence if you want, but I'm telling you, the old devil wants nothing more than to distract us, and he wanted nothing more than Budgie to say, you know what, forget it, this is a sign, I shouldn't go, I got to stay here and take care of my car, what if I have water leaks, I got to stay here. But what's cool is when you get to that point where you recognize it for what it is, and you say, oh no, devil, keep on, I don't care, I'm going, I got my plane ticket and I'm going. See, the devil will try his best to rob us from experiencing God's power. The devil will try his best to interrupt God's plan for your life, for my life. But just like Budgie's experience, we have to learn to recognize it and tell the old devil, nice try, but you're not going to stop me. I'm doing what God called me to do. Now, with all this being said, another time the devil likes to attack us is this. It's when we just finish the great task for God. When we get home, we've had that mountaintop experience. We've been out doing what God created us to do. The devil said, oh, let the tempting begin. Taylor had an experience with this when we got back from Zimbabwe. She called Jenny up, and we probably should have warned her about it, because the first time, I still deal with it, the first time I ever went, and I just experienced doing God's work for 2 weeks. Now, you can experience that right here. Let me tell you that first of all. You can experience that every day. But I'm telling you, sometimes stepping in onto a plane and going somewhere where your phone doesn't work and all that, it kind of helps you step away. And so we had just been doing God's work, and we feel the Spirit moving through you, and just giving you words to say to people that you don't even know that are speaking in different languages. You get to worship with people, and you come back, and all of a sudden you're supposed to get off the plane on Saturday, and Monday morning you're supposed to care about your job again. You're supposed to care about the alarm clock going off because you've been on Africa time for 2 weeks. She called up Jenny, and she said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't care about anything anymore. Like, I don't want to go to work. I just want to just sit and think about all the stuff that had happened. See, the devil likes to just be waiting for us and say, oh, now you're back here. And you see, you weren't really a missionary because you would have stayed. But that's such a lie. Because what he wants us to do is be inspired by those things and to keep on serving where we are. Number four, last but not least, it's essential that we need a communion, that time with God alone is in those moments of weakness. Can you imagine 40 days and 40 nights of not eating? Can you imagine what Jesus' flesh was feeling and what he was thinking about? I know one thing, I'd be thinking about a big old cheeseburger. I'd be thinking about a steak and some mashed potatoes. He was spiritually on the mountaintop, but his physical body was beat down and weak. I can't imagine how much weight he probably lost. This is another time that Satan will attack. So if you've noticed, this pretty much covered any time that anything that we could ever go through in life. So there's never a time that we shouldn't be in communion with God. This is a daily action. And if you think that Jesus himself didn't have to do this, let me remind us this morning. This wasn't the only time that Jesus was tempted. So many times I'll read through it and I just say, oh, that's right, Jesus was tempted this one time and then he went and did all these great things. He was 100% human. So he went through the same things that we went through. We just read that in God's word. I love Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 23 says this. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hand of the elders and the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the grave, from the dead. Verse 22 says, but Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him, saying, don't say such things. He said, heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, what? He said, get behind me, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God. See, Satan is always trying to work against God's plan. Peter was trying to divert Jesus from the cross. And you know what? He had good intentions. But he was still trying to divert. Satan was still trying to use him to divert Jesus from the cross. But Jesus recognized it for what it was. And he said what? He said, get behind me, Satan. And again, Jesus suffered like we suffer in life. Jesus was tempted like we're tempted in life. In fact, Jesus told his disciples this in Luke chapter 22, verse 28. He says this. He says, you are those who have stood by me in my trials. He didn't say in my time that I had experienced that one trial or temptation. He said, you stood by me in my trials. You see, the old devil did all he could do to divert Jesus from God's plan for him. I think about it when he was in the garden. Jesus went back to that place of communion with God. The Bible tells us that he prayed so hard that sweat came out of his pores and dripping on the ground like blood. Oh, but preacher, you always preach about resisting sin. I know the Bible talks about resisting sin. I know the Bible teaches us this, that we should stay away from it. John the Baptist said we should repent and turn to God. But you don't understand how strong my temptations are. You don't understand the things that I deal with. You don't understand that the temptations and how powerful they are when they come over me. Don't preach to me about that because you don't understand. Well, maybe I don't this morning. You'd probably be surprised how much I do. But let me tell you something this morning. Jesus does. He knows what it feels like to be tempted. Maybe nobody else understands their temptations, but Jesus does. And until we've prayed against sin so hard that our sweat turns to blood, we cannot make excuses for our sin. We can't. We can't say, oh, well, yeah, but I'm just too weak. My father fell into that same stuff and that's why I'm like I am. Or because it's in my family or whatever. That's not an excuse. We don't make excuses for our sins. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 through 4 says this. And I shared this around the campfire the other night because it was already on my heart. It says this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. I'm going to close with this. We're going to be wrapping it up. He says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He was talking about keeping going. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose hope. Keep on resisting sin. He says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. See, he was thinking about those heavenly things. He disregarded its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Listen to verse 4. He says this, "After all, you have not yet given your life in your struggle against sin." Until I've given my life as a sacrifice to combat the ugliness of sin in this world, let me not make excuses for my sin. Amen? Do we get it this morning, church? Are we understanding this morning? Are we grasping that heavenly perspective? Resisting temptation to sin is only possible when we what? When we spend time with God, when we rely on God's power. Just like Jenny was talking about, when we allow God to help us and not our own strength. If we really want victory in Jesus, we have to be in Jesus. If we want victory in Jesus, we have to be in that communion with God. Not once a week, not even once a day. If you're like me, I need it every hour, every minute. Jesus himself separated himself from the world for 40 days and 40 nights. He knew that he needed that closeness to God to be able to resist the temptations that were headed his way. And he let the Spirit lead him to that place. He let God lead him to that place. Let me make you a promise this morning. The temptations are coming, church. The temptations are coming. But will you look to Jesus this week, this morning, this afternoon, as the perfect example of how to combat it? Will you commit to setting time aside this week, today, even this afternoon, to spend time with God? Let him evaluate you. Let his word evaluate your life. It's the only way that we'll really have victory in Jesus. You want to be healed from sin? You got to go to the doctor that can prescribe the medicine. I had an infected, ingrown toenail this week, and my toe almost rotted off because I was too stubborn to go to the doctor. And Jenny said, "You need to go to the doctor. It's turning black and blue." And I couldn't even hardly walk. I couldn't even enjoy the time that I was supposed to be hunting because of a little toenail. Until I stopped the busyness. I stopped my plans. And I said, "God," and I said, "Jenny, make me an appointment. I'm going to the doctor." I went to the doctor. She gave me some pills. And the next morning, imagine this. You know, the swelling had gone down. And I feel so much better. And I get to go to Great Wolf Lodge tonight with my kids and run up and down stairs and act like a kid. Let me tell you something. The best medicine for our sin is communion with God. It doesn't get any better than that. That's the antibiotics we need for sin. And guess what? Each time we resist the devil, each time we follow God, you can sing that little song, that old hymn that the choir sang. Sing it with me this morning, church. Don't leave me hanging. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. That's what every time you stomp the devil, every time you kick him, you say, "Get out of here, Satan." Sing that song because it's a victory that you just won. I want to challenge you this week before we end and we have the time of invitation. What is it that you need to fast from in your life? What is it that you need to spend some time out in the wilderness away from this week? What is it that robs your free time, that's taking your free time? I don't care if it's food. If it's food, you know what? Hey, if you're like me, it's probably food. You sit around, you get bored, you want to lose weight, guess what? Go have communion with God in the wilderness. I guarantee you, it'll be better than any Weight Watchers program there is. Maybe it's your hobbies. Maybe it's certain friends or groups you hang around. Maybe it's a TV show that you have to watch every night. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's Amazon. Write it down. Whatever it is this morning, write it down. What is the first thing that comes to your mind that you say, "I spend my free time doing this and I should be spending it with communion with God"? What's the first thing that pops in your mind this morning? I'd encourage you right now to write it down. Make a note in it. Put it in your phone. Something. What is it that's taking time that God wants from your life? And you know what? Each time you're tempted, each time I open up my phone and I want to open up Facebook because I'm bored, I say, get behind me, Satan. And I spend that time in the Word and I open up the Bible app and I read. I read a devotion. I read God's Word. I spend time praying. That's what it looks like to fast. It's that simple. It can be food. When you get hungry, you can say, man, I'm going to focus this time. My stomach's growling. But you know what? I'm going to fast and I'm not going to eat lunch all week this week. And I'm going to say every time I feel that worldly side of me saying, I need this, I need this, I need this. I promise you, we're not going to starve to death if you skip a meal. That's where you have the closeness with God. Say, get behind me, Satan. And spend that time praying and reading the Bible. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted the free gift of salvation that God has for you, that's what we do this for. That's what I preach for. That's what we worship for. That's why this building was built. So you could have a place to come and a time of invitation where you could come to know God the Father who loves you. And you could be called, what? A child of God. If God is calling you this morning, maybe there's something you just need to spend some time praying about, a sin in your life that you need to get rid of, like I've got plenty of them. Come this morning. That's why, let's not just run through the motions. Let's let it go this morning. Do exactly what Jesus did and just say, you know what? I'm going to walk away from the worldly stuff and I'm going to give it to the Lord. Whatever God's calling you for this morning, if you need prayer, whatever it is, if you want to join this church and be a member here, come as we sing. Hymn number 445, Sweet Hour of Prayer.